that's just weird. Mm-hmm.
You want to be on there? All right.
But I said here. This is town hall.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Tuesday, October 18th, 2011 Carbon Board of Aldermen meeting. This is a regular, hopefully fairly short one, but a regular business meeting for us. And so we begin with requests from visitors and speakers from the floor. Seth LaJeunesse. LaJeunesse.
Is that French?
It is, but unfortunately, yeah.
Great.
Exactly.
I believe Sammy should know, like, that he's moderating.
You might double check on that.
Yeah.
Where is Sammy by chance? Is he?
You know, I'm not sure. He's unable to make the meeting tonight.
Okay, fair enough. I guess for the record, my name is Seth LaJeunesse. I'm impressed with the pronunciation of my last name. I very seldom hear that. I'm here on behalf of the Transportation Advisory Board as its chair. And I just wanted to cordially invite all of you to a presentation. You have that flyer in front of you. It's essentially a showing of a presentation that was delivered in January of last year at the London School of Economics by the one and only Enrique Peñalosa. For those in planning and engineering, that's a pretty household name. For those who may not know him, he is the former mayor of Bogota, Colombia. From 97 to 2000. He was responsible essentially for kind of reconceptualizing transportation and the use of the public realm in Bogota, and was really transformed the city. And his concepts and his vision have been essentially emulated all over Latin America, and it's really starting to head north and east as well to some of the more livable cities around the world, like Vienna and Vancouver. Basically, this presentation, not to spoil it, but he asks, what role does government have, what role can government play in enhancing people's quality of life? And he's really inspirational and talks about how they can essentially intervene at the level of the public realm. So how do we make it more livable for folks who are younger, who are older, who are less mobile than most of us? How do we enhance the dignity of everybody? And so that is going to be kind of a springboard for discussion at the Century Center next Thursday, 6:30, as you see on the flyer. This has been organized by Janet Whitesides. She's actually gotten the slides from Enrique himself of the presentation, because in the video you can see mostly him but not the presentation, so we have the slides as well. Heidi Perry has played a major role in planning this. The Transportation Advisory Board has reserved the space there, but we've also joined forces with the Carborough Bicycle Coalition and the UNC's Department of City and Regional Planning. Eric Virgil from Columbia will actually be kind of introducing the presentation. It is about a 50-minute presentation. It's to be followed by a discussion moderated by the one and only Sammy Slade. We just really hope that some of you folks can make it. It'd be wonderful to see you there, and definitely invite all of you to join in on the discussion.
All right. Thanks,
Seth.
Thanks.
Okay. So, again, that'll be Thursday, October 27th, which is 9 days away. Is that right? Yeah. A week from this Thursday at 6:30 at the Century Center.
Can I ask a question? I'm sure you have. But have you gotten it out through the, I get these emails all the time, through the UNC sustainability email, like that Greg Ganji sends to all his students? Great. I think a lot of students would be interested in that. Thanks.
All right. That brings us to, I think that's the only person that there, I have other people signed up, but it's on the Rossburn Way issue. We'll get to that in a few minutes. Is there anybody else here who came on a matter not on the agenda? If not, we are on the consent agenda, Mr. Manager.
I believe you have some charges before we get to the consent agenda.
Oh, do we? All right. Man, do we. All right. Is Amy Drawman here? Come on up, Amy. you'll stand right in front of the town clerk right here, she'll charge you.
As a Northern Transition Area Advisory Committee member, I will, 1, review zoning amendment requests and special and conditional use permit applications for developments within the Northern Transition Area and make recommendations on the same to the Board of Adjustment or Board of Aldermen, respectively. 2, initiate studies related to the special character of the Northern Study Area. 3, use the studies as the basis of its development of and recommendations for additional policies, ordinances, administrative procedures, and other means for carrying out plans in an efficient and coordinated manner. 4, develop and recommend to the Board of Aldermen policies, ordinances, administrative procedures, and other means for carrying out plans in an efficient and coordinated manner. 5, track and review other studies and plans that will have an impact on the Northern Study Area, including those of the Chapel Hill Council, the Orange County Board of Commissioners, and their appointed committees, and give feedback to the originating governing body. 6, meet annually with the Carrboro Planning Board for a joint planning session. 7, submit regular reports to the Orange County Board of Commissioners. And 8, perform other duties as assigned by the Board of Aldermen. All right. If you'll sign here, and I'll scan and email you a copy, and then after you've signed, you can start meeting the Board of Aldermen there. Start on the left, please.
Okay.
Thanks, and nice to meet you.
Hey, thank you.
Hi.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Hi, Amy. Thank you. Look forward to working with you.
All right. Is Carly Thief here? Come on up. Carly is joining the Transportation Advisory Board.
Hi, Carly. Welcome. As a Transportation Advisory Board member, I will, 1, assist in the execution of studies, advise, and make recommendations to the Carrboro Board of Aldermen concerning all matters related to the transportation within the town of Carrboro and the surrounding area, including but not limited to the need for the construction, operation, relocation, or improvement of streets, sidewalks, and bikeways, as well as the establishment and improvement of alternative methods of mass transportation. 2, report to the Carrboro Board of Aldermen as requested by the board and undertake such studies or perform such duties as the board may request from time to time. 3, take any other action authorized by the Carrboro Board of Aldermen. All right, great. Sign there. I'll scan and email you a copy. Great. Thank you. Welcome, and you can meet the board.
And is Heather Hunt here? Do you want to do both planning, Bethany Cheney, if you would come up as well, please. Thanks.
And thank you both for politely coordinating your schedules. As a planning board member, I will, 1, make studies and recommend to the Board of Aldermen plans, goals, and objectives related to the growth, development, and redevelopment of the town and the surrounding extraterritorial planning area. 2, develop and recommend to the Carrboro Board of Aldermen policies, ordinances, administrative procedures, and other means for carrying out plans in a coordinated and efficient manner. 3, make recommendations to the Carrboro Board of Aldermen concerning proposed conditional use permits and proposed zoning map changes as provided by sections 15-57 and 15-322 of the Carrboro Land Use Ordinance. 4, perform any other duties assigned by the Carrboro Board of Aldermen. All right. Let's see. Beth. Thank you. Welcome. Nice to meet you both. Thanks.
Thank you.
Thank you for your service.
Thank you.
All right. that puts us on our consent agenda.
Item number one is approval of minutes of previous meeting. Item number two is a request to make an appointment to the Planning Board. Item number three is a resolution adopting a charge for the Greenways Commission.
I have a quick question.
Okay,
just item three. I see we have a new one. Is the only change in the first line?
Yeah, the May came out.
Yeah, we dropped the May.
The what?
May.
Instead of saying that also, it now says that also provide, and it used to say that also may provide.
So now it matches the town code.
I'm sorry, I'm missing where you are.
In the opening paragraph,
right,
the second to the last line now reads that also provide bicycle and pedestrian connections. The previous version had that may also provide.
Okay, and also it looks like and honor. Something else looks different in the first part of it. I started to go through it, and then I got a little confused. But anyway, were those changes that we...
There's only one word changed, and I know.
It should have only been the one word that was changed. That's a staff oversight.
That's when I was taking the code directly, the language directly from the town code, I did inadvertently remove and honor. So
it looks like and honor that in the town of Carrboro, that whole little... And honor that in the town of Carrboro looks missing.
Oh, I recognize and
honor that.
That's true. It should say I recognize and honor that in the town of Carrboro.
And is that appropriate to still have that in there? I didn't know if someone meant
yeah,
to take that
that's
out.
Probably that's a good thing to have.
Was it taken out purposely or
just no?
Okay.
No, that was.
Okay, then. So that with that adjustment, I just wanted to. Okay.
Good eye, Lydia.
All right.
That's why she's a lawyer.
Yeah.
Move items 1 and 3 as corrected.
Second.
Okay. Items 1 and 3 have been moved and seconded. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed. Matter passed unanimously. Did you have
I just want to enter in, as we mentioned, the charge that Gary Junker, Mary Sonnes, and Mark DeSormo came to a meeting to read the charge, and I just want to thank them publicly for being here, and we didn't realize since we didn't have a charge, so I just want to thank them for coming and sitting through the meeting and let them know the charge is now here.
All right, we'll get them rescheduled. What was your...
On DEPRA, my sense is that she was on the planning board for quite a while with a term that ended fairly recently, and I'm wondering if anyone knows how long she served. Like, did she have two full terms, and how recently her last term ended? And if no one knows the answer to that, I would like us to defer this until we know that information, because there could be, I think we need to consider, you know, if there are implications, nothing to do with her personally at all, but you know, if there are considerations in terms of if someone has done their two full terms, if there's a length of time we expect them to be off the board before reappointing them again.
Yeah, and I know she's been on since I've been around, but I don't know how long she's been on. I think she's been off since around April, but I don't know.
Yeah, she's a recent...
Off since January, or I think it's the last contact was April, but she rotated off.
Yeah, she only rotated off fairly recently, within the last year, I'd guess.
Yeah, that's what my feeling was, too. So I think it would just be good to have that information, and if there's something we want to talk about just in terms of as just a matter of procedure and policy in terms of how we treat reappointments, that we can do so.
Then you should have a written policy so people will have notice.
Well, that might be the case.
I do have her original appointment date.
Okay, which was?
March 15th, 2005. So 2 3-year terms would have been 2011.
Years.
So she has served her six-year term. but then came off of the committee at the end of her six-year term.
And so I guess I don't recall anything in the advisory board guidelines about, you know, a length of time before going back on a board. And so the question is, I guess, whether we should consider that. I think we should consider that question. And I'm actually, I don't care whether we do it prior to this appointment or subsequently, but I think we should.
I think, in all fairness, if she reapplied under the existing rules, then she should be appointed under the existing rules. And if we want to say somebody needs to be off for a year before being reappointed, then we can go look at that.
Okay.
But I wouldn't.
In the advisory board guidelines, it does state that after completing two full terms, a member must take off 1 year before applying for reappointment to the advisory board.
Okay.
Well, let's go with that then.
The Board of Aldermen can make an exception to that, but that's what's in the guidelines.
Okay, then I'm not being, agreeing with you that she's a fine candidate. I haven't been presented with a reason for why there should be an exception.
Well, let's just not take action on it right now.
Yeah.
We'll sort it out later.
Good leadership, Mark.
Let's do nothing.
Are you a Republican?
Decision in itself.
Then I think we're on item B1, Ross Byrne Way traffic calming request.
Although you might want to send a little note to Ms. Fritz if she decides that she may feel like she fits within an exception.
Yeah, that's a good idea. Kathy, can you follow up with her?
Yeah.
Thanks.
Okay. Ross Byrne Way.
This item is for the Board of Aldermen to review a traffic calming request for Ross Byrne Way. And Jeff Brubaker, the transportation planner, has a brief presentation.
Thank you. Good evening. So this item is related to a traffic calming request for the Kent Woodlands neighborhood for Ross Byrne Way, and we have a number of members of the community here tonight. The timeline for the request is the petition was submitted in November of 2010, and we were going to go ahead right away with data collection, but at the request of the neighborhood, we waited for better weather to conduct our pedestrian and bicycle counts. We also did traffic counts concurrently with that. In July, at the request of the neighborhood, we did an additional evaluation. There is a clause in the our residential traffic management plan, if you recall, that allows the neighborhood to have us take a look at 95th percentile speed in addition to 85th percentile speed. So we did that evaluation. It's a little bit more difficult to do given our traffic data software, but we can do it. And then in August, the staff level traffic and parking committee made a recommendation, and it was presented to the Transportation Advisory Board in September for their consideration. So as I said, Ross Byrne Way is in the Kent Woodlands neighborhood. There's a location map on the right there. Obviously know where it is, but for anybody who doesn't, it's just south of Culbreth Road, and the posted speed limit is 25 miles an hour, and the functional classification is a sub-collector, as shown on the construction plans. The initial evaluation was based on Ross Byrne Way being a local street, because that was what is shown in our GIS files. The best way would have been to check the construction plans right off the bat, but it was evaluated as both. I'm going to be presenting information tonight both as a local and a sub-collector. I'm not sure what's exactly. The slides are a little bit offset, but these are just some photos of Ross Byrne Way. This is looking north towards Palomar Point, which sits at the top of the hill. and this is looking southeast towards Bixley Drive. So we had two data collection locations. These were specified in the neighborhood's traffic calming request. One was right at Palomar Point. I hear technology failing me here. So this is the Palomar Point Rossburn Way intersection. We conducted traffic volume and speed counts a little bit north of the intersection, and then we did a bicycle and pedestrian count. And then we also did similar counts down towards Bixley Drive. And you'll notice right here is the jurisdictional boundary between Carborough and Chapel Hill. And you can see that the Bixley Drive intersection is within the town of Chapel Hill boundaries. So it was suggested early on to the neighborhood that if traffic calming measures east of this point were to be important, that they coordinate with the town of Chapel Hill. So just a refresher on the, since it's been a while since you heard a traffic calming request, the residential traffic management plan specifies two stages of traffic calming. Stage one of traffic calming is what might be termed soft measures. That has to do with education and awareness, enforcement, traffic signs and pavement marking, and encouragement of alternative transportation modes. And then stage two traffic calming measures are, of course, the physical measures that we're familiar with. Speed bumps, but also other things like chicanes, chokers, and all those cool names. So stage one traffic calming measures are eligible for locations that score up to 25 points on the evaluation. And then if a location scores greater than 25 points and has a combined total of 12 points in the traffic volume and 85th percentile speed categories, then they are eligible for both stage one and stage two traffic calming measures.
Jeff, does a stop sign fall into stage one?
Yeah, that would fall under traffic signs and pavement marking. Yep. So at the Bixley Drive location, the evaluation yielded 8 points. There was very low traffic volume at that location. And if you need to see the breakdown of the scoring, I can show that information too.
Just to be clear, is that the 85th or the 95th percentile?
This is
combination of both.
This is the 85th percentile. That's better. Basically, with the volume of traffic that is shown there, it falls well under the expected volume as listed in the residential traffic management plan. So the evaluation results for the Palomar Point location, as I said before, it was initially classified for our evaluation's purposes as a local street, and then looking at the construction plans later, we saw it was a sub-collector. So I'm presenting both.
Can I ask a clarification there?
Yes.
I'm hearing that, well, the construction plan specified something and you were looking at something else. But in fact, as the road functions, what is it?
I would say that it functions, according to the definition in our land use ordinance, it functions more as a sub-collector than a local road. The reason is because it ties into local streets, Palomar Point and Nut Tree Lane, and also it just meets the dwelling unit threshold, and that's an illustrative threshold in our land use ordinance. That's not a hard and fast threshold, but it does meet the land use ordinance threshold for number of dwelling units accessed with 26.
Thanks.
So. Anyway, considering it as a local street, it received 33 points under the 85th percentile assessment and 47 under the 95th percentile assessment. And I actually I don't have here, but I can show you what it received as a combined score for each of these for traffic volume and 85th percentile speed. And then for the sub-collector, the evaluation would be 18 for 85th percentile and 32 for 95th percentile. Looking at 95th percentile speeds, the 95th percentile was somewhere between 35 and 39 miles per hour. So there was 5% of vehicles who traveled at least 35 miles an hour, or maybe faster. And if you look at Ross Point Way as a sub-collector, it would not meet stage 2 thresholds for 85th percentile speed, but it would meet stage 2 thresholds for 95th percentile speed even as a sub-collector, because that 95th percentile speed resulted in 24 points in the traffic speed category, and that's well by far exceeds the 12 points that is needed. So the recommendations, the Traffic and Parking Committee recommended stage 1 traffic calming measures, and also coordinating with the town of Chapel Hill should the neighborhood be interested in traffic calming measures further to the southeast, I'll call it, in Chapel Hill's jurisdiction. And then the TAB, the Traffic and Parking Committee's recommendation was presented to the TAB, and the TAB recommended that stage 1 traffic calming measures be implemented immediately, including signage and enforcement from the police department, preceded by an announcement to the neighborhood that enforcement will happen. And then the TAB also recommended that staff should research inexpensive stage 2 traffic calming measures, either permanent or temporary, that can be implemented immediately in order to determine the best solution for the neighborhood. And the TAB requests that they have the opportunity to review those potential solutions. The draft recommendation before you tonight is for stage 1 traffic calming measures, and then there's an option there to defer a research on stage 2 measures to staff. There's a notice requirement in the traffic management plan that if a stage 2 recommendation is brought to the board, there needs to be 10 days notice in advance to the to the area of influence before that meeting occurs. So at tonight's meeting, the recommendation is for stage 1 traffic calming measures. And on stage 2, that would be a direction to staff to research it and bring it back to you. So I have some additional information if needed, but that's the presentation, and I'll be glad to answer any questions.
Jeff, do the various solutions under stage 1 and stage 2, are those prescripted by town code, or are they policy, or are they some other professional standard, or what?
It's an adopted plan.
It's an adopted plan, not in the code, but it's one of our adopted plans.
That's correct, not in the code. Okay. The land use ordinance at one point does reference the plan, but for our purposes right here, it's in the plan and it's not in town code.
Okay. I think Dan was for
Dan. Thanks. Typically, if we go ahead and adopt the stage 1 this evening, what would be the procedure whereby you would evaluate the effectiveness, and what would then be the timetable of determining if we did need to pursue stage 2 at some point down the road?
I can foresee that taking somewhat of the following template, a before and after study, where we would put down our traffic counters on the streets, and then get a before picture, then implement the measures, whatever they may be, and then come back with an after to see if the speeds or volume or any other conditions have changed.
And if they hadn't changed sufficiently, would you then come back to us for the consideration of stage 2 at that time?
I think that somewhat depends on what your recommendation is tonight.
So if we ask you to think about stage 2, then you will.
Is that what you're saying? Yeah.
Okay.
Absolutely.
I have four people signed up to speak.
And you have Jackie and Randy.
Okay. Do y'all want to go ahead?
I just The recommendation from the TAB seems rather pressing. It's kind of a strong statement from them that be implemented immediately, and that the research into inexpensive stage two that can be implemented immediately, and that just kind of raises a flag to me that the TAB had some serious concerns, and that's why they're making those recommendations. Is there anybody from the TAB here, or
we let them get away?
Or do we know why their recommendations are so strongly worded? Maybe we'll find out when we hear from people that want to speak.
Jeff, were you at that meeting?
It's hard for me to kind of get the inside of the TAB's brains,
right.
But I think that one of the things that they looked at was, they looked at that 95th percentile speed falling in the 35 to 39 mile per hour speed bin, and I think that was one of the factors that was considered, mm-hmm. is that, that's pretty fast, and, what are people driving 40 miles an hour, almost 40 miles an hour doing on that road?
Was there any sense of who the drivers were? If they were, on my street 4 years ago, it would have been my stepdaughter's, along with her foot out the window. Was this people passing through? Is it people that live in the neighborhood? Is there any sense of that? Or I guess I should ask the people that are speaking next.
I would defer that.
Yes.
To them.
There is no. There really is no passing through that.
Okay.
There's nowhere to go other than a little farther into that neighborhood. It doesn't connect to any other than going back around to Culbreth Road.
Yeah. So it's probably people who live there. Yeah.
Randy?
Yeah, that's what I wanted to have clarified, that the that Rossburn goes from Culbreth to Culbreth. Is that correct? It's a loop?
It is part of one arc of a loop, so to speak. So it connects to Nut Tree Lane, which connects to Cobble Ridge Drive, I believe, and that's in the town of Chapel Hill, which goes back to Culbreth.
Okay. But, so I drove through this the other day, and I actually was coming from the other way. So this does not connect to, through the back way, through to Southern Village. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Yeah.
Not at this time.
Right. So, so it only affects this immediate area. I, too, like Jackie, I was concerned that the tone of the recommendation from the TAB sounded, rather immediate. And so I'm wondering if, within the timeline that, if staff were to look at, and if we asked you to look at, an inexpensive stage two, like a soft stage two setup, is that a good way to kind of tackle and get more information on any further needs before we would go into a serious hardware out there?
Yeah, one of the things that there's this new great book that came out a year or two ago called the U.S. Traffic Calming Manual. That's really the first of its kind.
Sounds great.
Yeah.
Summer. It's good. Exciting read.
It's good beach reading if you want. Yeah. Only for transportation planning nerds. But it's really got a lot of good, helpful information. And one of the things that it talks about is that some municipalities have a trial first. So they mimic stage two measures with temporary features like cones or bollards or things like that. And that's a way for them to evaluate the effectiveness of stage two measures without, pouring any concrete or asphalt. And I think that was one of the things that the TAB talked about when they decided on the wording, permanent or temporary, was to look at trial measures. And one example of that might be, recreating a chicane recreating a chicane with cones or something like that.
Okay.
Paula Pruitt.
Actually, I put my name on their website, but just after hearing the presentation, our neighbors.
Could you come up to the microphone, please?
So the people at home can hear you.
No, it's okay.
I was here more tonight just to find out what your plans were going to be, because the neighborhood is very concerned about the implementation of Stage 2, I have to say. But they seem to be on both sides of the issues. There's not a very firm stance in my mind that there's one or the other that's got the most push behind it at this time. I would like to mention that although Rossburn does primarily just go through the neighborhood, we do have through traffic. People tend to make a loop through, or they drop somebody off, and then they go back out through Copper Ridge. So that's not completely correct, although mostly. Just wanted to put that in there. I would think that Stage 2, I would like to personally see Stage 1 happen. I think there definitely needs to be some measures there. There are a lot of kids on that side of the neighborhood. They need to be safe when they're playing, and a lot of our kids play outside. I would like to see if that will be helpful in and of itself before going to Stage 2. And I agree that there should be just temporary measures initially with Stage 2 to find out if that really would be helpful. And I'd also like to find out if some of those calming measures would actually affect. We had a neighbor that was stating they talked to a firefighter who said that they hate speed tables because it slows down their response times. I'd like to know if the slower response times of emergency vehicles outweighs the number of children affected in the area. I don't know if there's a way to find that out or not.
And what's your address?
I actually live on 102 Brannan Court, which is not affected by this. I'm the neighborhood president of the Homeowners Association. So I just get to hear a lot.
So you're in the Chapel Hill side?
Yes, I am. I am, and I have older children. Well, so
welcome to Carver.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
She may have been here before. Jill Hill.
I'm nervous. I've never been on TV. I wasn't the one that initiated the petition, and I think Jeff did a great job with his presentation, but wanted to urge you to consider our street as a local street and not a subcollector street for several reasons. One, I think that that's what the Transportation Advisory Board was thinking when they made their recommendations. And two, because there's not sidewalks on both sides of the street, which if you look in the town of Carrboro's PDF, subcollector streets must have sidewalks on both sides of the street. So in considering that, then Stage 1 traffic calming measures, from my understanding, just from sitting in the tab board, with the exception of a stop sign, just having a sign up or flags on your posted speed limit, are really not effective. We have multiple children, I mean, just in this one block, and there have been so many close calls, and somebody's going to die. I mean, with the 95th percentile speed and 85th percentile speed, over 30 and 35 miles per hour. I mean, if you look at the national transportation or traffic, whatever the big people are, their studies would show that there's a 60 to 80% death rate if those cars were to hit a pedestrian. I don't know what response time that would be for ambulance and such, but I would like to think that we can prevent a fatality just on the road. Some way or another. And again, I refer back to the TAB, who in that meeting were very concerned about cost of Stage 2 more than anything. From being in that meeting, my thought was that they were actually leaning towards Stage 2, but didn't want to spend Carrboro's entire budget on one street. So I think that's why the wording is so strong. I'm sure I had more to say, but I guess I just want to urge you to
You don't have to.
look at the data. I don't have to say anything.
It's not required.
Yeah, no, I know. But I think as elected officials, I think having the data that you now have that was collected by the town, it's really no longer a responsibility to keep us safe, but kind of an obligation at this point. So I want you to just really thoughtfully consider the measures at hand and take adequate precautions on the conservative side.
So. Thanks, Joe.
Thank you.
All right, and Katie Baumler.
Hi, I live at 304 Rossburn Way, and I'm the mother of three children, 6, 4, and 1. And
that's your
home. Yeah. Well, Jill actually beats me. She's got three kids as well, but they're 5, 3, and 1.
Bless her heart.
But I can tell you that our kids are outside pretty much constantly every afternoon, and I'm out there with them. And there have been many close calls, and I would like to also urge you to consider it as a local street, because if a car going 35 miles an hour hits one of our kids, it will kill that child, whether it's a local street or whatever the other categorization was. It's not going to matter. The car is not going to go any slower. My child's not going to die any less. So I just hope, and I don't mean to be overly dramatic, but if you've been out there and you've seen what I've seen, I think you would agree that something needs to happen. And quite frankly, I don't know what the best option is, but I hope somebody can figure it out and keep our kids safe, because I don't want to witness anything happen out there. Thank you.
Thanks, Katie.
Thank you.
And Mr. Zinn.
How you guys doing tonight? To see you. It's nice to finally be up here as a Carrboro citizen, as opposed to someone trying to develop something or build something in Carrboro.
I don't know how to take that, but
it feels good, Joel. But so, I mean, I've been involved with this development from its inception. We built most of the houses in the neighborhood, and so I've seen the neighborhood evolve, starting with the Chapel Hill side and then continuing over on the Carrboro side, you know, from scattered houses to now a complete 52-unit subdivision. And even though they're two different municipalities, it really feels like one big neighborhood. And, you know, as this issue has evolved, we've heard it's been interesting going on the neighborhood blog, and you know, Jill did a great job of, you know, spearheading the study, getting it going, and I think a lot of people were pretty silent until they heard about some of the possible measures that might take place, and then you know, there's a lot of chatter and a lot of dialogue, and really I think, you know, what it boils down to is you might have 52 homes, but everyone has a unique viewpoint. I mean, and that's how the world works, you know. I mean, you got someone who's an empty nester, you know, who is really not very concerned with what's going on. You have, obviously, people who have, you know, multiple children right there, the fast straightaway. And, I mean, it's the biggest, you know, it's a very big problem to them. You've got other people, teenage drivers who may or may not, you know, care about what's going on. If I were a parent of that teenage driver, I certainly would. And you've even got parents, you know, who are speeding down the street, and you know, Jill's done a good job of putting a little children at play, a little yellow thing right in the middle of the road, and you know, even that doesn't seem to slow people down sometimes. So it's an interesting issue, and I certainly think that traffic calming measures do need to be implemented. I'd personally like to see stage one measures implemented immediately. And, you know, I know some people might, you know, I know that some people might not want that. But if everyone here has probably gone through our neighborhood with this issue in front of you, I mean, as you come up Rossburn Way, You know, people come speeding up Rossburn Way, and then when they crest at the top of the hill, then there's a straightaway right there. So the obvious place to put a stop sign is right there at the intersection of Rossburn and Palomar, and that's immediately gonna stop people. Or if they run the stop sign, then they'll risk a ticket, and I'm sure we can get some Carver police, and even the chatter on the website has slowed people down. I mean, it's been a positive thing, and it's probably created some, a little conflict within the neighborhood, but at the very least, it's made people aware that, hey, this is an issue for us. I live right across the street from Jill and right next to Katie, so I'm 306 Rossburn. If we do move to stage 2, traffic calming measures, which certainly seems like a possibility, I am fully against speed tables. I think it's, obviously slows down response time. And I think, speaking in all honesty, from an economic perspective, and it's not economics versus children's lives, I think there are other stage 2 measures that we can take. But I think that people come into a neighborhood and they see a speed table or multiple speed tables, and they're like, ooh, what's the matter with this neighborhood? So I think a chicane is a very effective device for slowing down traffic. I mean, Katie's even talked about going and parking, one of her cars on each side of the road. I mean, we don't want to do that. But any time that you can slow traffic down and do it in an aesthetically pleasing manner, people are going to gain a little bit of grass, maybe a few more plantings, maybe an aesthetic improvement for the neighborhood. I think that's a good thing. So I just want to throw my 2 cents in. And, again, thank you for listening to me, and thank you for your time.
Thank you.
Thanks so much.
Okay.
I'll go.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I was out in this neighborhood on Sunday, and I saw the astounding number of small children at play. So I believe that this is a serious problem. So I would like to move the resolution with under item 2, including where we have the following measures: outreach to the neighborhood, signage, and enforcement. And I'm open to if anyone has other ideas. And under item 3, I would like to choose point B because I would like us to be at least prepared to move to stage 2 more quickly if that appears necessary once the evaluation is done.
All right.
I'll second, but I just want to clarify, does signage mean stop sign? I mean, is that right?
Well, that's a good question.
It could also
I
mean
think it
slow
does.
Children.
Yeah. Right. Well, that's. I just want to. That was what was unclear to me.
That's a good question. Thanks.
If you give me a second, I can pull up the actual plan. Town staff will review the traffic signing and pavement markings in the area if necessary. Staff will modify or add traffic signing and pavement markings. It doesn't say specifically regulatory signage, but it also
could be. But it means you all will determine what signage you think is necessary, or should we do that?
It's really up to you in this resolution what you feel. I will say one point about stop signs, which is that, sometimes, not in every case, but sometimes stop signs can lead to acceleration after the stop sign to make up for it. So I think that there's questions to be weighed about the traffic calming effect of stop signs. Not to say that they don't work, but
and other types of signage would be like children playing or slow down, or what would the other signage be?
Yeah, it could be some kind of advisory signage. Slow children at play, we hard our children, those signs, things like that.
Well, I would like to see both.
Joel.
I have a preference for a stop sign. And the reason why, I think the board recalls last week, we had a discussion about, someone brought a petition about crossing from Hillsborough, that crazy little, and there are stop signs. And there is a marked pedestrian crosswalk. People don't slow down because I run out there all the time. That's my little 2-mile loop now. So, I mean,
So that's why I'm more inclined to say stop sign. At least try it. That's just me. If it doesn't work.
The motion is for stop signs.
Right. Okay, then.
Jackie.
Aren't there pavement markings, too, that tend to slow people down? Like slow down dummy or something like that? But aren't there different pavement markings that...
I think a lot of the pavement markings are related to a sign. So if you have a stop sign, in some cases you can have a stop bar, or if you have a high visibility crosswalk, you can put shark's teeth yield lines in advance.
Mm-hmm. Or stop ahead.
But in terms of specific pavement markings, we'd have to take a look at that.
Okay. I'm comfortable with the motion. I'd also like staff to continue to look into the potential need for, a harder stage two, if need be. So that maybe there'd be a period of evaluation of how the stop sign and educational outreach is working.
But you kind of want it to work on the long term. You just don't want to look at it 6 months in advance, 6 months in the future, because people will think about it 6 months, but what will it be like a year later? So you really want long-term, consistent slowing down traffic.
Yeah, that changes behaviors. But I agree with the TAB in that, even if you have the stop sign, it should be monitored to see whether or not it needs to be taken further.
No, I agree with that. I'm just saying that the monitoring should be on a regular basis, mm-hmm. so you'll have an opportunity mm-hmm. not wait so long when you really should pull the trigger.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, basically.
Shooting the cars.
I didn't mean it like that. It's a tipping point, then, if you will.
And do I say that if Omar can convince people to stop at the stop sign, then he won't have to have a speed tape?
There you go.
There you go.
Question, if I'm not on the agenda.
Why not?
I think it's a pretty important question. Do I need to go up there and ask you?
Yes. Sure. Prefer it so we can hear it at home.
So my name is Ann Roos, and I live at 401 Rossburn Way, and I cross the intersection where we're talking about putting up stop signs. And I initially didn't really like the idea, but I think anything that will help us is worth doing. A concern I have is I've noticed that when I come up from the other end of Rossburn Way, from where the park is, it's a blind hill. And my question is, when you've had these near misses, are people coming from Culbra, or are they coming from the other way? And if they're coming from the other way, are we doing enough to solve that problem? Because I don't want to overlook that, because that's where I've really noticed, whoa, I see this problem. Because I don't see anything over that hill as I'm driving up it. So I just wanted to get that out there and make sure we're looking at that. And maybe one of you has the answer?
I think that would be more the Chapel Hill. If there's a stop sign, it would be on the Chapel Hill side, but certainly there would be traffic calming coming up the hill, too.
Yeah.
But Jill and Katie probably better suited to answer kind of...
Can I ask
it
from here?
I'll summarize what you say.
Okay. The near misses have been from both ends. I mean, it's not one side versus the other side. I think the reason we've been concentrating more on the Palomar course part is because the Bixley Drive part didn't get enough points for really anything. I mean, do I think another stop sign there would be great? Sure. And a crosswalk, there is a playground there. I mean, that doesn't seem to be an immediate moment.
Might that be a spot then for just signage? I mean, not stop sign, but maybe the signage is,
right.
We've indicated.
Like a blind hill.
It's in Chapel Hill.
Oh, I thought, okay. I thought they were on our side.
Right. Okay. And maybe we could have, after we take our action, have staff write a letter to the town of Chapel Hill and say, this is, but there may be additional measures, and CC a copy to Ms. Hill and Ms. Ballman, and, then they would have the opportunity to go to Chapel Hill and ask for the same sort of calming, because it would be sort of a unified
mm-hmm.
plan as opposed to just one side.
I take that as a friendly amendment.
Okay. Yeah.
I think, too, that it should be added. I actually have some kind of a different viewpoint, which is most of the near misses I've seen have been people coming up from Culbreth. And I think the reason for that is because that's when I'm out there and that's when the kids are out there, is in the afternoon when people are coming home from work, as opposed to leaving. And so, I don't see as much as the kids aren't out there. In the morning, they're, at the bus stop, and that's so ungodly early in the morning that nobody's leaving for work. So I think that, most of the cars that I see are actually, I think they're going home, is my guess, because they're coming the opposite direction.
Could I just add one last thing?
Sure, why not?
A part of me wants to ask Jeff, a stop sign is obviously, a legal sign that forces people to stop. But I'm interested in asking Jeff, number one, what do stop signs in combination with children at play, caution signs, what's the effectiveness of that? What does your book say about that? And then number two, I just want to also point out that intersection of Palomar and Rossburn is where the bus stops, right in front of Ann's house. And there's no real need to cross over to a sidewalk over there, but that is a crossing point where people do cross over to a bus stop or get off a bus and then cross over to a sidewalk on the east side of Rossburn. So, just wondering.
Okay, so we have a motion and a second. I'm assuming the seconder also accepted that,
yes.
The friendly amendment. All those in favor of the motion signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, the matter passes unanimously. So we will get started. We'll see where we wind up, but this is where we start. Okay, that is the last matter on our regularly printed agenda. Alderman Coleman, you said you had another matter.
Yeah, I actually have three items, which will be as brief as you all can make them. First is, this came up in our transit partners meeting today. We're looking at the 2035 long-range transit plan again. And even looking out 25 years, the local service plan has this big empty area, basically cobblestone, north of Wexford, Lake Hogan Farms, Claremont, all that without any bus service. Mm. And we talked when we were looking at the NSA update about having some transit-oriented development up in that area. And what came up that Lydia and I were talking about at the partners meeting was something we have not done is really look at that plan, take that kind of map of that area to the transit staff and talk to them about, from a transit perspective, where would we want to put that density that would get us the most efficient service through those neighborhoods and kind of look at it proactively in that sense. And not that that would necessarily be determinant, but it would be a good factor in how we rethink that. So that's my motion, is to ask our planning staff to engage with Chapel Hill Transit on that question.
Second.
Moved and seconded. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed. Passed unanimously.
Good idea, Dan. Second item, was glad to see the staff report on the park questions. In the packet this week, one thing that came up for me that I would like to make a motion that we have an option for our budget consideration next year to add a couple of picnic tables and some trash and recycling containers in MLK Park.
I'll second that, but I think we also need to see what the operational cost
staff
would look, and see what the operational cost, because it's just not purchasing the stuff, but also what we would have to do to maintain.
Thank you. That's implicit in my request, but I appreciate your being explicit.
Can I just add one other item to that I've been hearing from neighborhood folks who use the park, is if there's some way to get one of those the doggy bag
I knew you were going to say that.
Yeah, well, then you probably got the same emails I did. The little doggy bag
dispenser,
because people do walk their dogs in the park, and, you know, if they have the bags there, they will use them.
Okay, I'll add that to the motion.
Is that with leashes or without leashes?
They're worried about the dog food.
Yeah, I know.
They want to be able to pick it up and encourage others to do the same.
I understand.
Two quick points to add to that. We do actually have some picnic tables out there now. They were sort of surplus picnic tables that were relocated there. We can certainly look in the budget at increasing the number of picnic tables. Also, in regards to the budget, this year's budget included costs for a portalette at Wilson Park. As the new bathroom has become finished, we still have availability.
Big hand clap there.
We still have funding available for a portalette, and staff is considering relocating that portalette out to MLK Park for use by the gardeners.
Yeah, that'd be great.
By the gardeners, I think that would be a very good idea.
And other passersby, I suppose. Mm-hmm.
So I'll take that as direction to continue with that.
I think that's a good plan.
Kudos on that Wilson Park.
Really?
No. I didn't think it was going to happen before I left the board, so I'm kind of happy about that. I'll run down that way.
If you don't watch this show regularly, then you may not know, but she's been after this topic for a long time,
so I'm real happy about that.
All right. Dan, did you have one more? No.
Did what we're going to vote on there?
Oh. Yeah. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? Found a passing absence.
My third point, and this is a more difficult topic, but maybe not necessarily a longer one, which is I'm wondering whether we need to consider the name of this body. And the reason I'm asking that, Jackie, you were not at the meeting with the commissioners last week. It's long been clear that Randy is uncomfortable with the word alderman. She always calls us alder folk. She doesn't like the gendered nature. Last week, Commissioner Pelissier had a lot of trouble calling us aldermen and wanted to call us alder persons. We're not alder persons. We're aldermen. And to me, it's as disrespectful to call us something else as it would be to call Bernadette Commission Dude or whatever that might be. I personally don't think we need to change the name of the board, but I feel like we either need to decide that we are comfortable with it and that we're going to call ourselves that and expect other people to, or we should think about it and if others would just rather not.
It came up several years ago, actually, but you were really, I think when it came up, there was a question of changing it to council folks, and I wouldn't have raised it, quite frankly. I just prefer someone who's going to refer to me, that they refer to me as an alder woman.
I always call myself an alder girl, like a superhero. I understand people not wanting that. I also feel like alderman is a kind of quaint term that isn't in too many... You know, in too many small towns, unless you count Chicago. And it differentiates the council, the commission, and the Board of Aldermen. I don't care. I am not personally offended by MAN. I'm just not. I know I should be, but I'm not. So some version of Alder, I don't know. I don't think it's something we're going to decide on tonight. I just feel like there's so many other things that we need to deal with. There's so many other things that I as a woman need to deal with. Mm-hmm. But I know there are people that feel strongly in the other direction. I don't want something bland and something just... I don't want something boring. I think alderman is a neat thing.
I have a question for our attorney, and he could respond another time if he doesn't know this off the top of his head, but I think state law lays out a range of choices about the name of, and mm-hmm. also defines who decides that as far as the whether we do or the legislature does.
Well, Matt and I were actually just talking about that, and Carrboro has special provision in its charter, Section 2.1, and it says, the governing body shall be known as the Board of Aldermen, Board of Commissioners, Board of Councilors, or Town Council, as determined by resolution of the Town of Carrboro. So you all can pick whichever of those you want.
Well, we could each pick which one we like.
Because 10 years ago, the vote was to keep it the same. Mm-hmm. So you can, to assist those who weren't on the board 10 years ago, you can pull the old discussions minutes out and email them to everyone, and they can look at it. But
it came from commissioners to all of them.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So
when do you know how long ago that was?
Pre-'69.
Sometime before 1969, it used to be a board of
commissioners.
Town commissioners.
Yep.
And Chapel Hill was aldermen.
Yeah, and they switched to town council as part of going, I think, legally from being a village to a town. So it was meant to kind of acknowledge that Chapel Hill was no longer a village. But that was the substance of the discussion back at that time, if I understand it correctly. I think it's worthy of consideration, but I fundamentally agree with Jackie that I kind of think it's nice that we have a somewhat distinctive name for our board. We could ask the legislature whether we could be just called Board of Alders.
No. That was actually my thought also.
No.
I can imagine what this legislature would like to call us.
I can say this because I'm leaving.
You say that every meeting.
I know, and I'm going to be saying more of it till I leave. I think there are other things that you need to consider other than what you call yourself.
Thank you.
I think you need to be considering what you actually do for the people of Carrboro, and when you serve in whatever position this is called, it is an honor and a privilege. And I don't think you should, this is my opinion, that you should spend a lot of time on it when there's so many other more serious things that the town is facing. And I can list 3 to 5 of them if you like, but I won't, because the hour's getting late and I want to go into closed session.
Okay.
I'm done. Yeah.
Go ahead. I wanted to very quickly return to the greenways discussion we had at the beginning of the meeting, where we were talking about maybe appointing Ms. Fritz and the fact
planning board.
I'm sorry, planning board. Yeah, where she's already served her 2 terms and she needs to stay off for a year unless there's an exception. And I was just gonna. In my memory, I mean, I know we have criteria that we try to meet when we make all these appointments to the board. And so I guess my question is, because someone said we can ask her to say why she fits one of those exceptions, which it's not a bad idea, but maybe for her to be aware of which of our exceptions or what she would fit into. I don't know if she would know how to look for those. So if we could get that to her also. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Are there any other matters?
All right. One more. But in open session, I know it. And I'm the one who wants to go into closed session. That great letter from Ms. Neely.
Oh.
Kudos to the fire department.
Yes.
Kudos to the fire department.
Yes. And thank you, Ms. Neely, for sending the letters.
Yes.
And just a real quick shout out to the young people. Doing Occupy down at the post office. If you have any extra donuts or pizza, cookies, anything, they're taking donation. Real friendly bunch of people with some really important, interesting things to say. So stop by and talk to them.
2 quick points before the board moves to closed session. The information that Alderman Slade asked for regarding the Duke Energy proposed rate increases is at your place, and we'll make sure to send that to Alderman Slade electronically in the morning. And also, just a reminder for the board and for the public, the next 2 meetings are going to be held at the Owosa Community Room. We'll not be appearing again at this location until November 15th.
because of early voting will be happening in this room.
And it'll say that in our packets for those of us who sometimes forget.
And we will be doing appropriate community relations.
Okay, great. All right, so the only thing before we do a closed session is, I guess, Alderman Slabe is not able to make it tonight, so I'm wondering whether he didn't indicate anything one way or another about how it relates to this. But
I think Kathy's been waiting a long time, and we keep putting her off.
So,
all right.
Can I ask a quick question?
Yes.
What's on our agenda for next week?
The only item on the agenda for next week is a public hearing for the 403 West Weaver Street CUP.
And what about for the 1st?
For November 1st, we have just a few items. Authorization for awarding a contract for Bowling Creek Greenway Phase 1B, review of downtown circulation study issues, urban deer control program, and Owassa water and sewer management planning and boundary agreement.
That's a lot.
Yeah.
Any one of those could
take all day.
What's your preference?
My preference is to do it tonight.
Over, Kathy? Either way's fine. Tonight's fine.
All right. Well, let's go ahead. Can we have a motion to go into executive session?
So
to go into closed session for the purpose of a personnel matter.
Yeah, and if somebody could please turn off the TV lights, yep. All right. We would be very
grateful. Been moved very specifically by Joel. We get a specific second.
Second.
All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All those opposed. We'll see you later, gang.